Hello there, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Books on the Move podcast, where I, your host Danielle, talk about books while I am on the move in some capacity, be that I am taking a walk or I am driving my car. And of course, right now I'm taking a walk inside my house because it's freezing out and you can hear the lovely creaks of the floorboards beneath my feet. Sometimes you hear the telephone ring or the clocks strike the hour, or maybe even hear my cat meow. But either way, it's gonna be a fun time because we're talking about books and that's really why you're here. So in today's episode, I'm going to be continuing my discussion, I should say, about my favorite books of all time. This is part three of that discussion. So let's just jump right into it. We're gonna talk about more fictional titles. The first one we're gonna talk about is My Sister's Keeper by Jodi Picoult. You know, Jodi Picoult is an author. Okay, you know what? I'll touch on it. Jodi Picoult is an author that has written a lot of books, and when you read the backs like of them and read the description and the summary, they never quite seem that interesting. They always feel like a Lifetime movie. And if you're thinking that's an insult, yes, it is an insult. because it does. And I, when I was younger and she was becoming more popular, you know, at the time, a good friend of mine at the time, we would always go to Target and look at the book section and look at her books. And I would always like want to read her books because everybody raved about her. But then like, I would read the backs and I'd be like, I'm just not interested. But this is a book that obviously was being turned into a movie. And as I've said, anytime a book's turned into a movie, you know I'm going to be there for it. So I think my friend lent me her copy of the book. I was in college when I read it. So I was a freshman in college at the time. And when I was reading it, you know, it wasn't a book that I found to be particularly good. I was definitely interested in the concept. I think it's very interesting. And I haven't read Jodi Picoult in a while, but if I remember correctly, what I appreciated about her was that she would take topics that are like very kind of niche and very also at the same time minimal, and then maximize them to like this incredible feat, if you will, getting multiple perspectives and kind of a balanced weight on the issue at hand. So again, back to My Sister's Keeper. Again, nothing really caught me off guard. The book felt generic when I was reading it. But if I'm being completely honest, I actually don't really remember much of my experience reading this book. I remember a few things that I felt, but for the most part, I really can't give an honest opinion. The only honest opinion I can give you is why I ended up calling this book a favorite. So I was home from college and I was in my living room where we had our family computer, and I was sitting in the computer chair reading this book. Why there of all places, I don't know. But I will say at the time, for most of my life living in this house, there was never a comfortable place to read. So I'm gonna guess that's why I was there. But anyway, so I was reading this book. You know, I was in the final stages of the narrative and finishing the book up. And I won't spoil the ending because I think that would be very unfair. But this ending caught me so off guard when I was sitting there reading that I ended up crying, like just bursting into tears crying at the ending. And let me put that in perspective for you. And again, I might have mentioned this in a past episode, but like, I don't cry when I read. It's very rare. You know, I might tear up in Harry Potter because I had that emotional attachment, and I even might cry, but again, it's the emotional attachment. I typically don't cry very much when I read, nor do I laugh a lot. I'm very bad at catching comedy a lot of times, so I don't often laugh out loud when I'm reading. If I do, it's like few and far between. But yeah, I just burst into tears. The ending caught me so off guard. I thought it was so beautiful and sad and tragic, but like at the same time, just amazing. And that was what made it a favorite book for me. I think for that reason alone, it's definitely worth it re-exploring that. So I definitely want to return to the book sometime, hopefully soon. We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, My Sister's Keeper, called it a favorite because of the ending, because it made me cry. It's just so good, it made me cry. So next book is another Jodi Picoult book called 19 Minutes. So I was about to say it's the only Jodi Picoult books I've read, but now I think of it, I have read some of her shorter works. But these are the two major books I've read by her, and both of them are favorites. 19 Minutes is about a school shooting that takes place for 19 minutes. And again, like My Sister's Keeper, it pulls from multiple perspectives, and if anything, I think is achieved something quite a lot grander than My Sister's Keeper did. Now again, I can't say I remember too much about this book. I remember it being good. like, oh, I called it a favorite. Like, so it must have been good. Like, I remember enjoying it for that, in that respect. But it's again another book I want to return to at some point. I read this after My Sister's Keeper, so I read it. I actually read it. It took me a long time to read it. I think it took me like 2 months to read. It's a big book, but I just also didn't dedicate enough time to it at the time. But I read it. It was during the summer of between my sophomore and junior years in college. Or actually, no, it was probably between the summer of freshman and sophomore. So, like, I have a picture of me holding the book because I was doing that thing where, like, on Facebook, you do a picture a day and struggle with coming up with things sometimes. But, you know, that's how it goes. So, yeah, I just remember really liking it, and I thought it presented, once again, a very balanced understanding of school shooting, and was very human. It presented characters who were faced with hard decisions and had a lot of twists and stuff, and I thought it was good. But again, it's definitely a book I want to return to at some point to see if it's actually as good as I remember it being. So the next book is Wolf in White Van by John Darnielle, who's the lead writer and singer for The Mountain Goats, which is a band. You know, The Mountain Goats are a band that I've heard a lot about over the years, and, you know, it hasn't gone unnoticed, but I've tried to get into them and really haven't. I've only gotten, like, recently semi, like, the smallest semi into them because there's a podcast called I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats, which I find really fascinating, and so I've gotten into them in that regard. But usually, like, there's only one song I've really liked, which is called The Best Death Metal Band Out of Denton. And most of the time I just like the cover songs that other artists perform for the podcast way better than the original. So possibly because, like, a lot of the times Mountain Goat songs, at least the early ones, are just really crappy quality and I can't handle it. Like, I'm like, oh no, gross, I can't do it. But, you know, I'm just a snob in that regard. But I'd heard about this book knowing that it was written by a musician, and that was really intriguing to me. I was like, that sounds really cool. So this is another book that it's kind of hard to talk about, like Jodi Picoult, but for different reasons. This book became a favorite purely for its, what's the word? Style, perhaps that's the word, or formatting. The book, I don't even want to say it because I feel like that's a spoiler if you haven't read it. So maybe, like, fast forward like 10, 15 seconds if you haven't read the book, but 30 seconds in this case. But for me, what surprised me about this book was how it was kind of told backwards. That's the spoiler. When I first read this book, when I read it, I was really confused by it. I struggled with it a lot. Like, most of the time, I had no idea what was going on. And that's why I struggle with my choice to call it a favorite, because, you know, I feel like if I didn't know what was going on most of the time and I was confused and annoyed with it, how can I call it a favorite simply for this one formatting choice? But, you know, so it's a book I definitely want to come back to at some point, because I want to see if it actually does hold up and I could keep it on my favorites list. But I remember it being good, so I guess that says something. So the next book, there's a lot of books on this particular episode that I question being favorites, and this is another one I'm questioning, and this will be a lot easier to read. It's a very bare bones, simple book. And that book is Silver Linings Playbook. So this book, again, another example of it being turned into a movie. That's why I read it. I just saw the movie first. The movie was a big deal where I live because the main character, or it takes place around where I grew up. You know, Philly area, go Eagles. I didn't grow up specifically where this guy lived. I really don't know it that well at all, but I'm familiar enough. And at the time, a friend of mine and I, we went to, like, there's a diner, the famous diner scene where Jennifer Lawrence, I think, is eating cereal or something, or maybe Bradley Cooper is, I forget. And we ate at that diner before seeing the movie. I believe it was before. And then we saw the movie, which was cool. And I really loved the movie at the time. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was like kind of a more adult version of Perks of Being a Wallflower. And there's a lot more to it than just that, so don't take my word completely on that note, but just that was like, if I had to give a broad statement, that was my overall opinion. Very focused on mental health and relationships, and I really enjoyed it. So I read the book, and I thought the book had a very simple narration. Again, mostly the book reminded me of Perks of Being a Wallflower. The movie, I really didn't pick that up. It was mostly the book. It's hard for me to pick a particular reason for loving this book, but I did. But again, it's one I want to return to because I don't remember why I loved it, you know? So definitely want to return to it some point soon. All right, so the next book I want to talk about is Not Without Laughter by Langston Hughes. So this is a book that's actually pretty recently been added to my favorites list, so I feel a bit more confident talking about it. So this book I read last year. Langston Hughes so I'm not a huge poetry person. It's not that I don't enjoy poetry, but I find that I have a hard time deciphering it a lot of times, and often that takes away from my enjoyment. So I tend to, I don't avoid it, but I don't seek it out regularly, like some people do. So Langston Hughes was always an author I strayed away from because I don't do poetry, and he's primarily a poet, so, you know, it's just how it worked out. But I had wanted to read him primarily because, and this is silly, but I have a shirt that has all these authors on it, and I hadn't read most of them, and he's one of them, so I wanted to read something by him. So I looked up to see if he'd written any novels, and what do you know? Not Without Laughter came up. And, oh, wow, is this book good. And perhaps it's because the language is so poetic that it's so good. The characters are so alive, and I think, you know, for me, reading this book, I decided to read it during Black History Month because I think that I wanted to hear primarily Black stories. And I don't think you should just do it during, obviously, Black History Month, but because I was raised with so many white stories, you know, I realized for a time that, like, I barely read any Black stories, even as an adult. So, like, this was something that was very important to me. And I think what was great about this book was how it, like, what's the word? it depicted this time, like, basically, like, we think that things are kind of straightforward, that all black people, you know, believe one thing and that's it about slavery. But this book actually presents, like, this sort of nuanced perspective on it, that, like, obviously they didn't want slavery, like, that's obviously not the case, but, like, you have this main character's grandmother who is sort of like nobody works hard anymore, and, you know, they didn't realize how good they had it, you know, back then, and all these things. And then you have the children who are trying to, you know, do their own thing and latch on to something, but are struggling. And it's just such a beautiful family telling, I guess, or story. And again, just the language of it alone is enough to call it a favorite. It's so good, but the characters are so good. There was just a beautiful sense of family to the book that, for me, I really appreciated. And yeah, it's one that, it's not like the other ones that I just talked about. It's definitely a favorite. I just really loved this book. I loved it from start to finish. Just so good. It's one of those books that, like, as an English major, I just get so hyped up even just thinking about it, because, like, I remember reading that. I remember picking it up and thinking, oh man, I'm gonna get something good today. Like, this is just such an enjoyable book. So yes, very good, Not Without Laughter. The next book is A Single Man. So this book is about a man who is gay, whose partner recently died in a car crash, I think. And it's basically like a few days in his life. And it's really good. It's written so incredibly well. So, like, the observations in the book are so, like, it's one of those books where, like, obviously we observe things all the time, but we often don't put things into words or internalize them. And this book has, like, fully internalized these thoughts and, like, describes them so well that they're not tedious. They're just so, like, romantically written and just, oh my gosh, so good. And it's a tragic book, but it's kind of one of those books that if you're an English major and you love literature, it's like kind of a literary novel. And if you love literary novels, then oh boy, this is right up your alley. It's a super literary novel. It's really, really good. So not much more to say about it than that. Again, writing is incredible, so that alone makes it a favorite for me. So the next book is Carol by Patricia Highsmith, more commonly known, well, I guess previously known as The Price of Salt. This book is kind of another one I might have to return to. But when I read it, my God, I love the writing in this book. I think the writing is incredibly beautiful and well done. I think where this book strives is the atmosphere it presents. The book is about two gay women in 1950s New York. I believe it's New York, maybe Chicago. I think it's New York though. And oh my God, it's so good. I will say that the book kind of dips in quality for me toward the end when it gets to the more like heist stuff. But other than that, like, I just thought the book was so kind of nuanced in the way it approached the subject material. And, you know, I feel like this is oversaid, but like ahead of its time in a sense. You know, you just didn't read books about gay women in this era who had a happy ending. It's just really not heard of. And so I really appreciated it for that reason. But once again, it comes down to writing and atmosphere. I thought this book did a really good job. And the film is really well done too. I do like the book a bit better, but like I will say about the book, even though it is a favorite, there was a point when like I seriously had no idea what was going on. I was reading it and I was like, what am I reading? Like, so if I had a critique, that was probably the only part. And I don't even remember where that was, but it's been a while. So, but yeah, Carol, very good book. And then next one, we have two more. We're actually making our way pretty well. Next one is We the Animals by Justin Torres, I believe his name is. This book, again, is really good, really well written. Actually just turned into a movie, so I will be talking about that on this show because it's on Netflix, so I'm really excited to watch that. This book is so, it's like a coming of age novel, and it's just like, it's hard for me to say anything other than the fact that like it's so beautifully written, that it so beautifully captures the human experience and, you know, what that looks like in relationships with our family and kind of societal and family pressures put on us. It's just really good. Again, like, it was one of those books that when I was reading it, it felt like such a treat to pick up and read. It was one of those books that you kind of look back on and you're like, that was an amazing time of my life reading that book. It's just so good, so rich in quality. Just, you can't get any better than this. It was just brilliant. So definitely check out We the Animals. And finally, we have the last book I'm going to talk about, which is The Lovely Bones by Alice Siebold. So I feel like this is kind of a controversial pick. I've noticed a lot of, recently it's been kind of popular to hate on this book. But I think hating on this book, or people saying that they dislike the book, actually, a lot of times when I hear the critiques, they often miss the point of what this book is trying to do. For me, when I first read this book, I think I was 15, 16 years old, possibly 17. I don't quite remember. And I didn't like it. And partially that was due to my inexperience in life, you know, not too much, but partially. You know, at the time, I really hated the narrator, Susie, and I just didn't enjoy it. The only reason I actually did pick it up to read was my grandma read it, which she doesn't read many books, my grandma. Like, she doesn't read anything. This is, like, the only book she's read in the last, like, 15 years. Like, I don't think she's read a book since then. But it was a big deal because, once again, this is a book that takes place kind of near where I live. Not, again, not an area I'm super familiar with, but near enough where it's like getting attention. Okay, our toilet's just randomly running right now. Don't know if you hear that. It does that, it's fine. So anyway, but yeah, so that was really why I read this book. My grandma had read it. It was close to our hometown, so I was like, oh, this is a big deal. We should read this book. And I remember reading it in the car as a teenager and thinking, like, God, I hate this narrator. So I didn't really enjoy him, but ended up seeing the movie when it came out. And the movie, maybe that's something I'll talk about at some point in this podcast, because I haven't watched the movie in a long time, but I loved the movie when it came out. And I was very surprised when to hear that most people hate the movie, that they think it's a bad movie. It's kind of those movies, one of those movies that came out and like people just don't think about ever. Nobody mentions it, nobody talks about it. It just kind of came and went. It kind of lost in the abyss. And, you know, this movie was so moving to me that I actually wrote a paper on it for my film class. I took a film class in college and I wrote my best paper on this movie. And I think there is a lot about it that people kind of miss or misinterpret. And maybe that has to do with its reliance on the book, but like, I don't think it does. I genuinely think the movie, from what I remember, is really beautiful. So I'm gonna have to rewatch it. We'll see how I feel about it. But either way, it was this movie that actually got me excited and wanted to reread the book to see what I had missed. And, well, it became a favorite instantly. This book really just, I think what I appreciated about it was it's, it basically is Susie, the character, and it's not a spoiler, but if you aren't aware, It might be a trigger warning. There is rape, gruesome death. So just a warning if you're not familiar. This character, who's a neighbor of our main character, Susie, he gets her into a small space and rapes her and murders her. And basically the novel is narrated by Susie, who is dead, who is looking at her family, watching them after her death and watching life go on without her. And like just describing, like, it's so beautiful. Like, I really want to reread it again. It's what I appreciated about it at that age when I read it, because I was in college, I was a freshman, was the religious aspects to it, like this idea of being in the in-between and letting go, seeing how the family coped differently with her death, and how realistically the author was able to manage to handle that. I thought that was really nice. And you know, the author herself actually was a victim of rape. She wrote a book about it. I think it's called Lucky, I believe. And I guess another thing is that it's really well written, I think. It's a book that I definitely want to return to sometime soon. For me personally, this book just really hit me. It moved me. It's written like from a teenager's perspective of her life going on, and she's not there to experience it, and just how hard that is, and being in this in-between, and oh my gosh, it's just so beautiful. Like, I'm kind of like almost like to the point where I'm about to tear up at the, like, talking about it, so I probably should stop, but like, it's so good. There are some like weird aspects to it. Like, I know my friend, like, there's one particular part that she doesn't like where she was like, that just did it for me. Like, it was over the top. But like, I think that's kind of the point, you know? It is very, you know, set in this kind of spiritual space where kind of weird things are happening that are unexplained, and that's okay. But I just really love this book. I just really, really love it. Look, and it's funny because this book, I read a thing on the back cover of it one time before rereading it, and it said The Lovely Bones is one of those books that I see in like a shop window or at a bookstore, and the memories of reading it come flooding back to me, and I just want to read it again. It's just so good. And that quote has literally influenced me as a reader ever since reading that quote, because for me that quote sort of symbolized how we look at books in general. When we look at a book, we see it, and it takes us back to that point in our lives when we originally read it. For me, that happens all the time. You know, there's a certain weight that each book carries, that when I look back at when I read it, I remember where I was in life and my mindset, and it's very comforting in a sense. Even if the book was bad, you know, it's just like, wow, I remember that. That's crazy, you know, it's just, wow. So, really good book. All those books really good, but again, I definitely need to return to some of them because I question some of my decisions. We'll see, I don't know, maybe I'll talk about it on here, but we'll be talking about the Lovely Bones film. We'll be talking about We the Animals, the film. I've never seen My Sister's Keeper. I have no interest, so probably not going to talk about that. I can't think of any other movies that are made out of this, so I'm going to say I'm good on that part. But anyway, so with all that being said, thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. We talked about my favorite books. Let's see, next episode, we're going to be getting into nonfiction. So that was all my fictional favorite books. So three parts, fictional favorites. I have a lot of favorite books, okay? Like, if you didn't notice, you didn't realize. That ends the episode. Look forward to part four of the favorite books and a bunch of other episodes. Hopefully soon we'll be getting into Les Miserables, right? Yeah, so exciting. Woohoo! All right. Thanks for listening. Have a nice day.
Yay!